Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. Right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. I'm excited to be back in the studio. It's been far too long. We had high school baseball on Friday. We had high school baseball yesterday. And that's bumped Drive Time Sports off the air. I'm stoked to be back in because there is plenty to talk about. And I tell you, we got a great show lined up as well. And that's actually what we will start with. Yesterday, the Carbon Dinos topped the Emory Spartans in the one and only meeting on the baseball diamond this year between the two teams. It was a very entertaining game. 0-0 going into the fifth inning, and then Carbon pulled away by putting up six runs in that frame. We will be joined next segment here on the show by Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbon Dinos. We'll talk about that win and what that win could do for the Dinos moving forward, because next week they have two monumental games with JUEB. If they sweep that series, we have a three-way tie, possibly a three-way tie for the region championship. And so again, Coach Jeff Cincinnatus will join us next segment here on the show. And we're also going to bring in ESPN reporter Brian Windhorst. Now, if you love the NBA and you watch a lot of ESPN, you know who Brian is. He's been around ESPN for quite some time. He has made a career out of following LeBron James. So it only makes sense that his latest book is called LeBron Inc., The Making of a Billion-Dollar Player. We're going to talk to Brian Windhorst about LeBron James, the struggles this last year in La La Land. I got some questions for Brian, because if you listen to the show enough, you know I'm not a LeBron guy. I'm not a big fan of LeBron James. I never have been. I probably never will be. And so I'm definitely looking forward to talking with someone who has spent this much time around LeBron and his business and his situations. I'm looking forward to it. That'll be on the show today as well. Let's start by taking a look at the national sports headlines, and we will begin in the NBA. Terrible news if you're a Golden State Warrior fan. DeMarcus Cousins, he's out indefinitely. A quad tear. You knew it was bad last night. And, look, the DeMarcus Cousins signing this offseason, it was a no-brainer. Coming off of an Achilles injury, I viewed him as one of the most skilled bigs in the NBA. And when he signed with Golden State 1 year, I believe it was like $5 million. You just think, oh my goodness, this team's going to get better and better. And you didn't know when DeMarcus Cousins would actually make his first appearance and how he would look. And I thought Boogie looked good, looked great. Now, yeah, he's probably gone for the postseason. Golden State did not know the extent of his injury last night following the loss to the Clippers, which that in itself was something else. What was it, a 72-36 run for the Clippers to top Golden State, still home court advantage, and make it a five-game series? But as far as the timetable goes, I think he's done. Let's be real. It's a tough blow for DeMarcus Cousins because he's playing in his first postseason in 9 years. Never even sniffed the playoffs when he was with Sacramento. Then he goes to New Orleans, and in his first full season with the Pelicans, they get to the postseason. That was last year, but he was sidelined with an Achilles injury. So Cousins has never had the opportunity to play playoff basketball. And then again, like I said, he signs with Golden State, and you figure this would give him an opportunity to kind of recover from that injury. He could take it a little bit easy. He's going to be not a focal point, but an intricate point. And this Golden State team is going to make a run, obviously, at a championship. And DeMarcus Cousins is going to sign a big-time deal this offseason. I don't think so. I mean, he's averaged 16-3 in 30 regular season games. He had 11 points, I believe 11 boards, over the course of the four quarters that he got to play in the postseason. But with these amount of significant injuries now, a torn quad and a torn Achilles, unfortunately for Boogie, I just don't know if I just don't know if he's going to get that massive contract once again. Now, somebody who did get a massive contract, and we're going to flip sports and talk NFL, Russell Wilson. We talked about this last week. A deadline was set. Russell Wilson and the Seahawks needed to get a deal done by April 15th. This was a fun topic, and I know we're going to talk about this on the show tomorrow, as well as we're changing Football Tuesday to Football Wednesday. It will break the NFL record. Russell Wilson is now the highest paid player in the NFL. And my question to you, is he worth it? And I'm glad we're going to talk about this in depth tomorrow, because there's two ways I could go with this. He will now account for a fifth of that Seattle Seahawks salary, a fifth against the cap, excuse me. Is he worth that? I don't think he is. And the reason I say that is because Seattle was best when A, he was on a rookie scale contract, and B, when they're running the football. That's when this team is at its best. Now, on the flip side of that, he's won a Super Bowl. He's taken the Seahawks to two. Are they better without Russell Wilson? Absolutely not. In my mind, he's been an MVP candidate over the last couple of seasons. And so it's kind of a catch-22, but he is now accounting for a fifth of that Seattle Seahawks salary. And boy, I tell you, that adds up. That adds up massively. So again, we'll have this conversation on the show tomorrow. Let's dive into the national sports headlines, and we will begin with Major League Baseball as far as the scores and schedules go. 4:30, that's when day baseball is going to start off today. We get the Red Sox on the road to take on the Yankees. Pittsburgh will travel to meet Detroit at 4:40. In the National League, we get two National League teams going at it at 5:05 between San Francisco and Washington. The Mets will travel to Philly at 5:05. We get Baltimore at Tampa Bay, the Cubs at Miami. Atlanta will play host to Arizona. And we get St. Louis at Milwaukee and also Toronto at Minnesota. All of those games in the 5 o'clock hour. A couple in the 6 p.m. hour, the Angels travel to meet Texas and the White Sox will host the Royals. 7:10 tonight, Colorado at San Diego. The Oakland A's will welcome in the Houston Astros at 8:07. That game will be on ESPN. And then the Dodgers and the Reds at 8:10. Last night, Jock Peterson with a walk-off home run. Yasiel Puig makes his return to Dodger Stadium. And in his first at-bat, he takes Clayton Kershaw deep. So it was Kershaw's first game of the season, and it happened to be Puig's first game back in L.A., and he takes Kershaw deep, yet the Dodgers found a way to get the win. We also get Cleveland at Seattle. That game is at 8:10. Now, of course, the NBA playoffs, they are off and rolling. This is the first show we have had since the playoffs began. May not have a whole lot of time to talk NBA basketball today, but we have plenty of time this week. Three games tonight, Orlando at Toronto, game two in Orlando. They've already stolen game one. If they get a win tonight over Toronto, things get interesting. Start time for this game is set for 6 p.m., a 104-101 win. DJ Augustine was the man of the hour in game one. San Antonio will travel to meet Denver. No surprise there. The Spurs getting a win in game one. If San Antonio gets out ahead, I don't think Denver is going to have a come-from-behind win in this series. And when I say come-from-behind, I'm talking like an 8-9-point win. I just don't think San Antonio will give that kind of advantage up. San Antonio, Denver's been great at the Pepsi Center this season. Lose game one of the playoffs, they lose tonight. That team is in some serious trouble. And then we get OKC at Portland, 8:30 tonight. Two of those three games on TNT, San Antonio, Denver on NBA TV. We've got a break for just a moment. More local sports coming up when we return. We'll recap everything yesterday. Plus, we'll be joined in studio by Coach Jeff Cincinnaris. And do not forget, ESPN reporter Brian Windhorst will join us on the show today as well. It's Drive Time Sports live from the Auto Farm Studios right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And we will begin with high school baseball, where yesterday the Carbon Dinos topped the Emory Spartans 11-3 in the one and only meeting this season between the two squads. Colin Lewis earned the win on the mound for Carbon. He was one of four pitchers that threw in the game, three of which threw two innings apiece. Lewis surrendered one hit, no earned runs, and struck out two. The loss on the mound went to Emory's Cade Brazier. Brazier pitched 5 1/3, giving up six hits, two earned runs, while also striking out six. The game was tied 0-0 going into the fifth inning, and Carbon took complete control by putting up six runs in the top half of that frame. Emory answered back with one. Carbon then put the game out of reach by adding three more in the sixth. The win for Carbon holds a three-game losing skid, while the loss for Emory snaps a four-game winning streak. Emory will return to the field this afternoon, weather permitting, as they'll take on ALA at 3:30 p.m. in a non-region contest. It will be the final game before the lengthy spring break for the Spartans. Carbon has now hit their spring break. They will return to the field next week to wrap up the regular season with a back-to-back against the Juab Wasps. For more information on yesterday's baseball game, make sure you visit CastleCountryRadio.com. We flip over to track and field, and this past Saturday, the Carbon Dinos played host to a home invitational as they welcomed in a total of 12 schools, and the Carbon Lady Dinos came out on top, accumulating 137 points, easily defeating second-place Union, who ended with 108. Uinta finished in third with 70 points, followed by Grand at 61 and Altamont in fifth at 47. On the boys' side of the track, Carbon logged a top-five finish. They finished third overall with 94 points. It was Grand at the top with 132, followed by Uinta at 121. Monticello and Union rounded out the top five in this particular meet. The girls' sprint medley team finished second, and it was a great day for Carbon's relay squads as the 4x100 also finished second place. The 3,200 meters, Emma Haddock had a terrific afternoon. She finished second with a time of 12 minutes and 41 seconds. In the 800 meters, it was McKenna Blank in second, along with Grace Broadbear in fourth. The Carbon 4x400 team finished first place, that team consisting of Megan Swayze, Haley Prescott, Grace Broadbear, and McKenna Blank. And the field events were very kind to the Lady Dinos as well. Emma Christensen finished first in the high jump, while Mariana Molliner and Tacey Tapia finished third in both the javelin and the long jump. Carbon High School will continue the track and field season following spring break. The Spencer's Wishes Swing True for Life Baseball Clinic, which is in conjunction with the Major League Baseball Players Alumni Association, is making a return to Smith's Ballpark in Salt Lake on Saturday, June 8th. The clinic is free for boys and girls between the ages of 8 and 17, giving them an opportunity to receive instruction from former Major League Baseball players on the same field that is used by the Salt Lake Bees. Each participating child will also receive tickets to a Bees game this season. While the event itself is free, transportation to and from the clinic is the responsibility of the guardian of the child. A waiver must also be signed by the guardian for each child to participate. For more information on this event or to print the official registration form, make sure you visit spencerswishes.org or contact Phil Roundy at 630-0205. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things. Play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. Tuesday edition of the show, we're back on regular scheduled programming. Yesterday, Carbon High School defeating the Emory Spartans 11-3 in a non-region contest. Carbon snaps a three-game losing skid, and in the process, they break a four-game Emory winning streak. Joining us right now in the studio to talk a bit about that and more, we have manager Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbon Dino Baseball Squad. Coach, it's always a pleasure to get you in. Thank you for stopping by again.
Thanks, Jordan, for getting me in today.
Absolutely, Coach. We'll start by talking about yesterday's win. It was a monumental one, and during the broadcast, or after the broadcast, I should say, after the victory during the broadcast, Ty Anderson, senior shortstop, he's talking with Sonny in the broadcast booth, and he says, look, this feels great. We've been struggling, and now hopefully this win can carry over next week against Juab. And I think that's kind of what Ty, he mentioned that multiple times. This is a team that's been struggling, but you guys get a win. You get a win on the road against a rival.
Yeah, like Ty said, we have been struggling last three games for us anyway. I mean, you know, we're not accustomed to kicking balls around and averaging seven or eight errors a ball game, and that's what we did the last three games in that losing streak, you know, two games with the Union and the game with Summit Academy. We just, you know, we're not playing Carbon High baseball. The effort wasn't Carbon High baseball effort. You know, what we're used to playing at and what we know we should play at. And I got after the guys a little bit. I have, and told them, you know, most of it is just we're just being lazy, and you know, we need to give better effort. And they understand that, and they agree, and they know that when we give better effort and we hustle and we we try and make the extra play, and we're backing each other up, and we're doing all those things that we're a way better team than when we're standing around just watching somebody else do it and expecting them to do it all on their own. And you know, baseball's a team sport. You don't go out there and just watch somebody try and make a play and not try and help them or back them up and do things. And we know that when we do those things, we're a pretty good team, and a team that I believe, and I've told our team that, you know, we can win a state title when we play that way and play with that effort. But when we want to walk around and kick it around and not back each other up and not make those plays and just be, you know, what I call lazy, that we're not a very good team. And Union kind of exploited that on us in a few innings. And, you know, we had a couple other teams this year that almost did. And I've told the guys, hey, we're kind of playing with fire here. And it kind of finally bit us. And, you know, sometimes that can be a good thing. But yesterday's win with Emory, you know, it was a good game. I think 0-0 going into the fifth inning. You know, their pitcher, Cade Brazier, was doing a great job with us and keeping us down. And I thought our pitching was good and keeping them down. And, you know, we finally broke through and got some hits and got some breaks. And, you know, the wheels started to turn a little bit. But, you know, a good win for us again, not only, you know, playing Emory, who's had a good year this year, but, you know, also getting off that three-game losing streak, especially going into two very important games next week with JUAB. And, you know, two games that if we win, we still have a share of the region title and a chance to host in the first round. So, I mean, a big win for us yesterday, and I'm happy that the guys, you know, came out and played hard.
I definitely don't want to be disrespectful at all when I ask this question, Coach, but you put such a big emphasis on making sure that you guys play a tough non-region schedule. And I know a lot of those games got canceled or postponed. Then, you know, this region, and this is where I don't want to be disrespectful, but the bottom three teams, they're not great teams. And we talk about Providence Hall and American Leadership and Delta. And unfortunately, the Emory and the Summit Academy game, it comes after the Union game. How much more beneficial would it have been for this team to play those games before going into the Union series?
Oh, by far beneficial. I mean, we had played, you know, 3 weeks worth of baseball against those lesser teams in our region that, in my opinion, maybe made us worse to play against a Union and an upcoming JUAB team. And that's what I told our guys. That's why I'd been really frustrated with those games, with our effort and barely winning a couple of them and then coming back and 10 running a couple of those games. But we were just playing good enough to win, and you're not preparing yourself to play the better teams when you do that. And that's what I was trying to get through to the guys. You know, I wish we would have played, you know, again, an Emory and a Summit Academy before we played Union, so that we knew we needed to give that effort and see that we needed to give that effort, because, you know, it did. It bit us. And not that we were playing bad against Union. I mean, you know, you play 14 innings of baseball and you have two bad innings, it can cost you games, and that's what happened. We had two bad innings, one in each game, that cost us those games. But you got to be able to bounce back from that. You got to be able to put a stop to those things in those innings when things aren't going well. And that's just where I thought we were being kind of lazy and not picking up our effort when things didn't go well and backing each other up and making a special play or doing something to get out of those innings. We just kind of laid back. And, you know, this team, they are a good team, but we still need to play better if we want to accomplish those goals and we want to beat the better teams. So they would have been beneficial. You know, we did have that tough preseason schedule. We lost some games that I think we should have won against the bigger schools. We played hard enough to just be there, but not hard enough to win. But, you know, that I know baseball, I know high school baseball, you know, it's a different story every day out. But I just feel like, you know, trying to get these guys prepared on a day-in, day-out basis and make them realize that if they'll step out on that field and give their total best effort every day that they're out there, they're pretty special. And when we want to just give the mediocre effort, we're, you know, just as good as anybody else or as bad as anybody else. But, you know, again, happy with the win yesterday. You know, looking forward to two games with JUAB, and, you know, the season's wrapping up here pretty soon. And, you know, I just hopefully this team can understand the opportunity presented in front of them and take advantage of that opportunity.
Again, joining us right now is manager Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbondale baseball team. Coach, I want to talk about some of the individuals as we prepare for the final region set of the season with JUAB in sight. Colin Lewis, he picks up the win yesterday on the mound, but pretty impressive what this kid's been able to do with the plate as of late. I know he's batting over 400 for the season, leads the team, I believe, in doubles. close to the lead in RBIs if he doesn't lead the league. I don't have the stats in front of me. And I know he leads the team in hits. I mean, all in all, it just seems that Cullen has been really a pillar of consistency for you at the plate.
Cullen has done a great job. You know, I get after Cullen a lot because I know he'll respond to it and do things. And, you know, and we still make mistakes here and there, but he has done a really excellent job this year at the plate and changing his approach when we've asked him to. Noticeably, you know, here lately with two strikes, I think he's taken a lot off his swing and just realizing that, you know, it's not trying to drive a ball in the gap with two strikes. It's about making contact and doing whatever the team needs, if that's a single or just putting the ball in play for us or whatever. But, you know, over the last couple weeks, he has been, you know, one of our better, if not our best hitter, you know, right now. And I really appreciate the fact that Cullen's, you know, done that and worked hard to do that. We're still trying to get him to give that consistent effort, you know, in the field and on the pitcher's mound for us that we know he can give us to make us the best team we can be. But, yeah, Cullen has done a good job, and, you know, we lean on him a lot. Again, I get after Cullen a lot, and I know he responds to it, and he knows what kind of effort he needs to give every day. And you know, he'll admit to me when he's not giving it. And, you know, that's all I ask of these kids is you know, give that effort. And when you're not, at least admit that you're not and know that you got to give better. And Cullen's done that. And I think that's the reason why he's, you know, hitting so well for us and doing what he's doing for us right now.
Coach, let's step away from the team and individuals and talk about something that you guys will do tomorrow, with it being spring break. You guys are going to hold your annual camp that you guys geared towards youth. It gives kids here in the local area an opportunity to get out and work, not only with you and the coaching staff, but also some of the kids at the high school level. I know they really look forward to it. It was something that you were trying to get done. I know in the month of March, Mother Nature didn't cooperate. And so tomorrow, you guys will actually offer this to the youth of the Castle Country.
Yeah, we try and do our kids camp every year, like you said, especially, you know, once the weather starts getting nicer in March. And unfortunate for this year, the weather just wasn't good. When we had the camp scheduled, I think on the 14th or something in March, we still had snow on our field. So hopefully the word's gotten out and, you know, everyone understands that, you know, we do want to offer this to the youth in our area. I think it's a great thing. I think the kids really enjoy it. I know my guys on the team especially enjoy working with these young guys. I've had a few of them say they can remember when they were these young guys and they came out to the high school and worked with the high school guys, how excited they were and what it meant to them. And so I think that, you know, that giving back to these young guys makes them understand, you know, it's important to us to show these guys where they can be in a few years and what to expect. And so it's a fun deal for us. It'll be tomorrow at the American Legion Field in Helper from 4 to 6. It is $20 to participate. And, you know, if that's a problem, obviously we can work around things. I mean, it's not about money. It's just about coming out and participating. I mean, we do have some stuff to give the kids that we purchased, and, you know, that's where the money goes, and to try and help pay for other coaches on our staff and some other things. But, you know, it's just a fun day, and we want to make it a fun couple hours for the kids, maybe take the place of one of their little league practices or whatever. We used to run it on a Saturday and was missing out because we got so many teams going out of town on Saturdays to play games, which is great, but we want to make sure we're getting a chance to work with all of them and give them all an opportunity. So tomorrow in Helper from 4 to 6, we should be at the ballpark around 3:30 so they can start showing up. And just have a couple hours where we take them through some drills and show them kind of what we do, you know, answer any questions to any coaches. I mean, coaches are more than welcome to come if they want a couple drills to work with their kids, or, you know, just have any questions on what our philosophy is up at the high school and kind of what we're trying to teach these guys so that we can, you know, all get on the same page and have them all working on the same thing. So, you know, I encourage everyone to come out. It says 8 to 12 years old, but I know we've had some six-year-olds out there, you know, or whatever. And, I mean, we're not going to turn anybody down. So, I mean, come out tomorrow. Get signed up when you get there, and let's just have a couple hours of fun and go over some drills. And hopefully the weather will, you know, cooperate with us. It's been one of those spring weather weeks already again, but hopefully tomorrow's a nice day for us.
Yeah, definitely. Coach, lastly, before I let you go, again at spring break, you guys don't play baseball for about a week, so what do you tell the kids before you send them off and on their way?
Well, you know, yesterday was a good day for us, you know, with the win. We didn't practice today. We're going to do our camp tomorrow, and then we won't practice the rest of the week, which, you know, that's tough. We're going into the final weekend of our region season with a region title on the line, and you know, we have a week where we're not practicing. But I really think right now it's a good week of rest for us. We have some guys who are a little banged up, who have, you know, a little bit of soreness in some muscles and whatnot going on. So maybe having 3 or 4 days off is a real good thing for us. Hopefully, you know, they come back really hungry on Monday and are ready to get after it. We will travel and play JUAB on Wednesday next week instead of Tuesday. They have some stuff at their high school on Tuesday. So we're going to play JUAB Wednesday at JUAB, and then we'll finish up with Senior Day on Friday next week in Helper. So, you know, we want to encourage everybody to come out. These are two, you know, every game for us is big, but obviously, you know, these are the two biggest games on our schedule. If we can come away with wins, you know, it puts us in a tie for the region title again and a chance to host at home. So, you know, a loss could drop us clear to third place in our region. So, I mean, that's a big difference. So we need all the support we can get at home, and we're going to go work hard next week and try and get a win Wednesday at JUAB and see what happens. But, you know, I told my guys yesterday, I mean, I want them to have some time off and have some fun with their families. We've been doing baseball for a while now, and, you know, with Easter weekend coming up, I just want them to have a safe and enjoyable time and just be safe out there. I mean, Easter around our area, it just always seems like, you know, we have some unfortunate accidents happen, and I hope everybody does have a safe Easter weekend and enjoy the time with your families. And I hope our guys come back on Monday ready to play some baseball. But hopefully we see a lot of people out tomorrow at our camp, and we can work with them and just have a good time.
Well, Coach, I definitely appreciate you taking out the time to join us today. Thank you again for stopping by the studio. Have a happy Easter weekend, and I know we'll talk again real soon.
Thanks, Jordan. Appreciate it.
All right, we got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up live from the Auto Farm Studio. When we return, we're going to be joined by a special guest. ESPN reporter Brian Windhorst will join us. He'll talk about his latest book, LeBron Inc., The Making of a Billion-Dollar Athlete. That's coming up when we return right here on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year.
It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Lillard got it! And the Blazers win the series for the first time in 14 years!
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarino on KOAL 750 AM.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, live from the Auto Forum Studios, and I'm so excited to bring in our next guest. One of my favorite types of guests here on the show are authors. I love hearing their insight and the work that goes into publishing a book. You get to learn that particular material inside and out. And our next guest not only fits that bill, but I guarantee you, you are familiar with his work. Brian Windhorst. He's a featured basketball reporter across all platforms for ESPN for 20 years. He's kind of made a career out of having the inside access to LeBron James. And he's joining us right now to talk about LeBron and his latest book. It's called LeBron Inc., The Making of a Billion-Dollar Athlete. Brian, a pleasure to get you on the show today. Thank you so much for the time.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Brian, I know that today we are going to focus on your latest book. It was actually released to the public, or at least the publication on sale date was April 9th, LeBron Inc., The Making of a Billion-Dollar Athlete. So all in all, this story to me is extremely interesting. It focuses not only on what LeBron has accomplished on the court, but off the court as well. Before we get going, I got to ask you, the inspiration for writing this book was what?
Well, I wanted to tell a story that was, you know, not a total basketball story about LeBron. I mean, really, you know, the story that 2016, when he won that title, coming back from, you know, 3-1 down, basically leading the Cavs on that comeback. I mean, that was the ultimate basketball story of his career. And I wanted to tell a story that was, you know, relevant, but maybe a little bit different. And, you know, he when he was a teenager and he realized, he's like, man, I really have a chance to be good and special at basketball. He dedicated himself and he just has great discipline to maximize that. I mean, he worked out a lot. He worked on his body. He started eating better. You know, even early in his career, he was really focused on recovery and stretching and things sort of ahead of his time because he was thinking, you know, even at age 20, 21, about, hey, I want to still be good when I'm 30, 35. And at some point, he had the same epiphany early in his career about business, which is he didn't think he was being fairly compensated. He, you know, he felt like he was worth hundreds of millions of dollars a year to the league, certainly $100 million a year to his team, but he's never been paid anywhere close to that. And so he's really focused on how can I, number one, get ownership of things and maybe someday even ownership of an NBA team, but own things that I'm a part of so that I'm sort of part of the business. And he's been fanatical about that too. And this book tells the story about how he's learned how to do that and how he's focused on that over his career.
Brian, you mentioned LeBron kind of gaining that business knack, and you've been around basketball for so long. You've been with ESPN since 2010, and again, you're around, you know, these nationally known players. At what point in time does it click for these guys that, hey, we got to start thinking about life away from basketball? And in what you just said, it seems like, and even in the book, LeBron kind of, that clicked for him at an early age.
Yeah, I mean, look, everybody's kind of different. You know, I will say that LeBron's era of players, this seemed to be something that really caught them. You know, Carmelo Anthony, for example, you know, he was doing investment stuff. Kevin Durant has his own media company like LeBron does, was into technology investments and these sorts of things. Chris Paul, very active in off-the-court business stuff. Dwayne Wade, same thing. This is something that this group really was focused on. Maybe something that the stars of, you know, the 90s and 2000s weren't as into, although they all had stuff off the court. The other thing is, with social media being so powerful now, it enables the players' reach to be a little bit farther. You know, before, to get their message out, even if their message was, you know, an advertisement, they needed some sort of other media to do it. Social media has opened up a lot of pathways. So in a lot of ways, he's sort of just acting more like the modern athlete, actually in a lot of ways setting the tone for the modern athlete. I mean, Michael Jordan didn't have social media to sell things on. And so, you know, when LeBron's strategy is, you know, related is to the times as well as to his status.
Brian, the book reads extremely well. I mean, it's very easy to get caught up in this book. And again, I'm not a LeBron James guy. I never have been. I probably never will be. But I do appreciate everything that LeBron has accomplished on and off the court. And with that being said, in this book, as you mentioned, you wanted something that wasn't necessarily geared towards basketball. And I think maybe that's why I got lost in this book, because it's not just completely geared towards basketball. And one of the more interesting parts to me is later on in the book, when you talk about LeBron James, eyeing Los Angeles, knowing that his free agency was coming up and the business aspect that it could bring to it. And I heard you recently, just this week, say that the Lakers, they fell into LeBron James. LeBron James wanted L.A. for post-basketball reasons. I mean, that's a fair and honest assessment, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would say is if it was all a basketball decision, if he only wanted to be on the team that had the best chance to win, probably would have gone to Houston or to Philadelphia, even Denver. You know, Denver was begging just to get a meeting with him. And, you know, think about Denver. Denver is the number two team in the West. Think about if they had gotten LeBron in the offseason. Would have been made a lot more sense to even take a meeting with Denver than to sign with L.A. in the first 10 minutes, you know. So for him to, you know, I think the reason he would never say that is because it can be used against him, like, oh, you don't really care about basketball. But even when he went back to Cleveland in 2014, that wasn't all about basketball. The Cavs did not have the best team at the time. There was family reasons. There was reputation reasons. So, you know, yes, he is definitely heavy invested in the entertainment industry after his career. And going and playing for the Lakers, especially if he's able to turn that around and be successful, could be beneficial. Now, if he was on this call, well, what he would say to you is, well, you know, people are talking about me doing Space Jam 2. Well, I was going to do Space Jam 2 this summer, no matter whether I was playing in Cleveland or Los Angeles or, you know, London. I don't need to be in L.A. to be a media executive, a media owner. And that is true. You do not have to be. But I also think, as you mentioned, it's a little disingenuous. I think he also wanted to live in Los Angeles and have that lifestyle, but he wanted to be invested in the media business. And you knew he wanted to be a Laker, and I don't blame him for feeling that way.
No, I don't either. And Brian, again, you have covered LeBron since 1999. So you know this guy very, very well. And again, later on in the book, you start talking about the move to Los Angeles. But I guess if I have to ask you a question beyond the book, how different has this year been for LeBron compared to the last 20 that you have covered him?
Well, first off, you know, this is the first time in a long time, and I'm going to go back at least a decade, that he hasn't started a season off with a realistic chance to win the championship. Because even those last 2 years in Cleveland, when he was there for the first time, those were 60-win teams. And they were the number one overall seed both years. They got upset in the playoffs, and they were not a championship team. But every day of those seasons, he was thinking about the title. And even, you know, he started going to the first finals in 2007. So he's been really used to starting a season thinking about playing in June. And I kind of think that worked against him this year, because one of the things that he's gotten used to doing, and he's, you know, sort of geared his entire year around, is setting up his body and his spirit and his mind to peak right about this time, April, May, June. And I think that he is eased into seasons, and even if he hasn't played his best early on, it's known that he'll make up for it on the back end, and most often he has. I mean, some of his play in the early seasons the last few years has been a little suspect by his standards, but who cares when he's leading his team into the finals? Nobody remembers it. Right. But with the Lakers, I think he needed to flip the script a little bit and start with a little bit more aggression and energy, knowing that his life was going to be different. His challenge was going to be different this year, and then he didn't. And then, of course, he got hurt. You know, whose fault is that? I mean, some people have said that, you know, it's because he's older now. Some people have said, well, maybe he's focused on the wrong things and focused on Hollywood, more focused on training. I say he slipped on the court. And, yeah, if he had slipped on the court when he was 26, he may not have torn his groin muscle like he did when he was 33 at the time of the injury. I think he just might have slipped on the court. So I really think we have to see what happens next year to see what the Lakers do and whether this is a one-off season or this is really the beginning of a trend.
Brian, I want to talk about the consensus thought when it comes down to LeBron James. And I know you cover 2003, the year LeBron was drafted, in this book. This has always been my thought process, and it's part of the reason why I'm not a LeBron guy. That 2003 draft class seemed to be the year where we saw a changing of the guard in the players' mindset. Players seem to be friends with one another now. They have the fraternity mindset. It's us against the owners. It's us against the front office. And there is a true fraternity mindset now in the NBA. And I believe the catalyst for that is LeBron. And it is the direction that I see the league going. And to be honest with you, it's a direction that I don't necessarily agree with, nor can I gravitate towards. What would you say to someone like myself who has that that thought in their mind regarding LeBron and the 2003 draft class?
You know, I think it's I spend a lot of time around retired players at ESPN. We have a lot of them who work for us. We have a lot of them in on shows. This is obviously something that's come up a lot of times. And the only thing I can say is this. Yes, that's absolutely true. You know, for example, when Kobe Bryant retired, he didn't have a bunch of people he competed against his whole career sitting along the sidelines ready to come out and hug him and pose for pictures with him because that's how Kobe rolled. And then when Dwayne Wade retired, he had Carmelo Anthony and LeBron and Chris Paul coming in and doing that. And that's true. There definitely is a change. But I don't think that you would look at LeBron James or Dwayne Wade or Chris Paul and say that they're not fierce competitors. You know, Chris Paul got into a fist fight with LeBron James' team earlier this season. You know, I do think that they don't have to be mutually exclusive. And I think the game is in a great place right now. For those folks who would say, well, you know, back in the 80s, you know, you would never let these guys go to the basket the way that they do today, I would say, hey, you know what, you're probably right, they wouldn't. But these guys would shoot you guys under the table, and you'd never keep up, and you'd get your butts toasted. I think that, you know, the game changes, but the game is in a good place. The skill level and the quality of play is there. And I don't think, even if it irritates people that they smile and hug each other, I don't think you could ever you know, prove that LeBron wasn't trying to beat the guy he was lining up against just as hard as anybody at his level over the course of the decades.
Well, Brian, I definitely love the book, The Making of a Billion-Dollar Athlete, LeBron James, Inc. And again, before I let you go, you got to give us a few more details on this book. It's out right now, and so people can get it on, I know, a variety of different platforms. I have the hardcover book sitting right in front of me right now.
I recommend the audiobook. I like to listen to audiobooks. I travel a lot. The last book I actually read myself, and it took 3 days and it was exhausting. And when I listened to it, I realized I don't have a voice for radio. So this time around, we got a really talented voice specialist to read it. And I was listening to it earlier this week just to listen to him. And I was like, man, he is way better than me. So I am enjoying listening to this guy making me sound like a good writer. When he reads it, I like the way he says it. But look, if you're a LeBron fan, you're going to learn a lot of stuff about him that you, I promise you, you didn't know. And even if you're not a LeBron fan, if you just are interested in sports and business, I think you'll learn some things from this. And there's some interesting details and some cool stories that I guarantee you'll read and you'll be telling them to other people, because that's just the nature of the kind of stuff this guy has done.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. Again, I'm not a LeBron guy, and I have thoroughly enjoyed the book. Brian Windhorst, I know you're a very busy man, but I do appreciate you taking out the time to join us today. It was a pleasure to have you on and a pleasure to have a conversation with you.
Thanks so much. Have a great week.
Again, that's Brian Windhorst, ESPN basketball reporter, taking out the time to join us to talk about his new book, LeBron, Inc. We've got a break for just a moment. We'll come back and put the final touches on this Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports, and it's right here on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, live from the Auto Farm Studios.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ron Artest, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini. Shout out to Queensbridge right now.
Set to close out this Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports. Great to be back in studio. Yeah, high school baseball is fantastic, but I definitely missed being in here. We're going to close out by talking some NFL football and some news coming out of New England. The Patriots have signed Demaryius Thomas. Boy, that's a very Patriot-type move, isn't it? Demaryius Thomas going over to New England. It's funny, I was having a conversation with Travis Anderson, my co-host here on Drive Time Sports, just yesterday, and we were talking about the lack of options that Tom Brady is going to have coming into the season. Houston, they elected to release him this offseason after a torn Achilles. They acquired him from Denver via trade back in October, played 7 games before suffering that injury. And yeah, I like it. Again, like I said, it's a very New England Patriot type move. And this is a story that we're going to talk about tomorrow as we get closer to the NFL draft. What are we, 9 days away from the NFL draft? And I'm okay with that. I love the buildup for the draft, but I also get tired of talking about the same stories over and over. And Kyler Murray is a story that I'm starting to get a little bit tired of. The A's tried so hard to persuade him to play baseball that they put a new contract on the table that would have given him $14 million in guaranteed money, in addition to the $4.6 million signing bonus he was entitled to with being the 9th overall pick. So, in a vacuum, they offered him $18.6 million, and this kid still decided he wants to play football. Now, I get the whole idea of the size. I understand that he's 5'10". We don't know if his body can withstand the punishment of the NFL game. We don't know if his game translates to the NFL and if he can be a franchise quarterback. I get that. But with this story coming out, to me, it makes Cliff Kingsbury's job a little bit easier come draft time. He's your guy. He is your guy. He turned down $18.6 million, $14 million in guaranteed, in addition to the $4.6 million signing bonus he was going to get as the 9th overall pick. And the deal would have also forced the A's to put him on the 40-man roster, which, again, that adds something to it. Because part of the, part of the, I'm good with minor league baseball, is traveling around on a bus through the AAA ranks. Right? AAA baseball players do not make a lot of money. AA baseball players especially don't make a lot of money, and the traveling accommodations are not great. So Kyler Murray would have been on a on the Major League 40-man roster would have had $18.6 million guaranteed, but had $4.6 million just for signing his name. And at that particular time, he wasn't even projected to be the top pick in the NFL draft. Oh, man, I got to be real. This is something that if I'm the Arizona Cardinals, I think he made my job extremely easy. If I'm the general manager, if I'm the head coach, Kyler Murray made my job extremely easy by saying no to Major League Baseball at an $18.6 million contract and going to the NFL. I will be stunned if this guy is not the number one pick in the draft. I will be stunned. And there's also news coming out that he will not meet pre-draft with the Washington Redskins, which tells me Arizona, they are zeroing in on their guy. We are just about out of time on this edition of the show. I want to thank Coach Jeff Cincinnatus, and of course, we got to thank Brian Windhorst. That was fantastic, getting to talk to Brian a little bit about LeBron James. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to talk a lot of NFL football. I'm definitely looking forward to it. Do not forget about the Drive Time Sports Podcast Network, which you can find on iTunes. Go check that out, the Drive Time Sports Podcast Network. Everything from baseball, basketball, football, whatever you need. It's the Drive Time Sports Podcast Network on iTunes. For Travis Anderson, I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.
Eastern Utah for over 80 years. 107.3 FM, 750 AM, KOAL. Price.